Love, dating, relationships.
What do you do?
Love Talks Back. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Love Talks Back. I am one of your hosts, MC.
And I'm NA.
And we are going to be talking about something amazing on this week's show. What is it? We're talking about making the first move.
Oh, very controversial in our 21st century.
That's right. Who makes the first move?
Is it acceptable for a woman to make the first move?
Or is it that a man should always just take that first step?
When do you do it? How do you know when to do it?
What's the right timing?
How, in fact, do you actually make a move?
This is all going to be explained right here on Love Talks Back.
Okay, MC. So, what's your view of this wonderful topic?
Okay, about making the first move. Now, my personal belief is that the man should make the first move mm-hmm. in a relationship. And, you know, like the first move, if they meet a girl, if they meet someone they like, or, you know, they're getting interested in them, you know, there's some rapport going on. Make
I like
a move.
That word, rapport.
Yeah,
it's a good word.
It's not report, it's rapport.
Okay, so I think... I completely agree with you, first of all, that a guy should make the first move. I understand, you know, post-sexual revolution and feminism and all that sort of interesting stuff, that women think that it's socially acceptable to walk around and just, you know, give away their numbers and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, to just, be the man in some
cases. It's so normal, you know, in pubs and clubs these days.
Mm-hmm.
However... I think we've lost sight of the fact that most guys don't know what to do when a girl is chasing a guy.
Yeah,
I think that's what it comes down to, is the fact that it's not really that normal that, I mean, in society now, we've kind of been trained to think that it's okay.
Yeah.
And there's no big issue, like there's no big problem with it.
Yep.
However, I do believe that a guy should be chasing the girl.
Mm.
And that kind of builds up kind of, I think... how a relationship starts is really important. And, I mean, if the girl is asking the guy, I mean, you're off to a great start.
Yeah, I think for me it's kind of like when you look at relationships like, not that I'm taking TV relationships as, you know, a be-all and end-all, but, you know, you look at some TV shows and there's a guy on there in a relationship with a girl and the girl's really pushy and the guy is just really passive, you know, sits around, just watches TV, whatever, just it isn't really... a part of the relationship in a very active sense. And a lot of that is also to do with the fact that that guy probably was very passive in the beginning of that relationship.
Mm,
didn't
ask
the girl
true.
Out. You know, the girl was just like, oh, this guy's really hot or this guy's really good looking. I want to give my number to this guy so something can happen. But essentially, that guy has set himself up completely the whole time to not have any sort
it's
of, you know, responsibility, not have any kind of initiative in that relationship. And that is not good for when you want it to be long term, you know, when you want to go into marriage and everything. Who's going to take care of all the responsibilities, you know, who's going to share all that? And for me personally, I think, you know, the guy should be able to have some sort of courage, real boldness in their personalities to, you know, go up to someone and ask them out and, you know, start a conversation.
I think the problem in our society as well is that people are so afraid of saying, of getting the answer back as being a no, that I think more and more guys are not actually making the first move mm-hmm. until they know for sure that it's going to be a yes.
Mm.
And what it means is that everyone's just waiting around. There's all like, maybe they'll be flirting or they'll be friends and they'll be hanging out a lot together, but nothing really is being done. Like, it's very unclear about where your relationship is going.
Mm.
I mean, if you ask this question much, like, when you actually want to, much sooner rather than later, at least it's very clear about a relationship, especially between boys and girls, where relationships can get a little bit complicated and confusing.
Yeah, that's right. And I guess, you know, if you get a no, well, that's good, you know, that means you don't have to spend all that extra time wandering around wondering if this is going to be a relationship that you want. You know, you get a no, which means that you can go and find someone else, you can go and look for some other person to
seriously
pursue.
Quite frankly, like, a no is no big deal.
Mm.
Honestly, like, your mum said no to you when you wanted an extra piece of cake when you were little.
That's right.
Your parents said no to you countless amount of times. Really, a no is no big big deal.
Yeah, and a no is like a yes to other things, you know? Like, if you get a no in this particular, or you know, someone asks you out and they say no, well, that's okay. That's a yes for something else.
Yeah, exactly. And quite frankly, a no is a good thing as well, in the sense that, I mean, if this person that you've been chasing and you get a no back from them, at least you guys know that you're friends. Like, it's yeah. so clear then. Yep.
The awkwardness is gone straight away. You're just straight into friend mode. Woohoo! Nothing else.
Woohoo for you, sucker!
So that's all about making the first move from our perspective, but we will be talking with Nick Richards later on, who is a guy who made the first move. And we can hear...
And kept making it again and again and again.
A very good story.
Very interesting story. And stay tuned for it, guys.
You're listening to Love Talks Back.
Call us on 8005 1530.
Or head to our website, lovetalksback.com, and send us an email. E-M-I-L-I-E. Emily's List. Now, before a relationship starts, somebody has to make the first move. It is a daunting task, but it can be made easier with these tips. Now, for the guys, first thing, do not be afraid to ask. But don't just ask anyone out, because that is probably going to lead to nowhere. Number two, be prepared for the word no. For the ladies, there's nothing more unattractive than a chasing woman. Guys need to have goals, that's just the way they work. So don't take away their main goal of pursuing you. It will just make them a lazy boyfriend in the end. Number two, make it easier for a guy by having some independence from your friends. It's a little intimidating for them to ask you out in front of 5 other women. Who knows how they're going to be feeling. Now for everyone, pray, because prayer is the most important thing. If God is not in your plans, then they will definitely fail, because he knows all things and he gives all things to those who love them.
Love Tip 101.
Bad boys are not that attractive. Okay, well, maybe they are. But they are officially unreliable. You are warned.
Okay, guys, so we've been doing Love Talks Back for quite a number of months now. And, you know, we just put up our podcast as of last week, 2 weeks ago. Now, the thing is, while we were doing our podcast, N.A. decided she had enough.
The cost of living in Sydney. You know what? It's so expensive, that's it. I'm moving. See you later, guys. I'm going!
And because of this decision, she went all the way to the Holy Land, had a little bit of a bathe in the Dead Sea. She went over to Madrid for World Youth Day, and now she's currently in sunny London. So, you know, things have been a little bit difficult for me. I've been trying to do a show, a two-woman show, just by myself. But you know what? I tracked her down, and I convinced her to come back on the show. So, this is what happened when I talked to her earlier today. Now, N.A., let's have a little yes. personal chat. We finally got you on the show.
Yes, it's 1 a.m. I am probably going to kill someone tomorrow.
What's the plan for tomorrow? What are you doing
okay,
in London?
Okay, so tomorrow my mother and father arrive in England.
Ooh.
Now they're going to Italy, so England's more like a one night stop off. So I can see them tomorrow.
Okay.
So their flight arrives at lunchtime, so I'm going to go in the morning, go to Westminster for Mass, which I'm doing off Westminster Cathedral, not the Abbey. I am Catholic.
good distinction.
Then from Westminster, I might go shopping at Oxford Circus.
Oh,
last time of mine.
Good on you.
And then I was also thinking this place that I've been to once, and I really want to go again. It's called Good Counsel. They're kind of like Family Life International.
Mm-hmm.
And they have ongoing adoration there, and people come in to pray to end abortion. And they've got like a proper counseling service set up where they see 4 to 5 women per day who are considering abortion. It's incredible. I'm going to go see them again if I can tomorrow.
That's awesome. Sounds like a busy day.
Yeah, and just where they are as well is this beautiful secondhand bookstore. door that I just lose myself every single time.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. I'm right here, right now. But my brain, spirit, secondhand bookstore.
You're going to have way too much stuff in your luggage. How are you going to fit it in?
I already have Flying Emirates, 30K.
Oh, ouch. How much money extra is that?
I don't know. No, it's not extra. It's 30K. That's them, Emirates.
Oh, right. They're pretty fair. Actually, I think it's 32 for some other airlines. You got to get 2 kilos more.
Yeah, 2 kilos. I'm getting 10 kilos more. I'm sitting on 20 right now. I'm going to come back.
Well, it's great to know you haven't left us, you know, fully. Entirely, yep.
I was thinking of shaving my head the other day. What do you think about that?
You've done it once already, so...
Yeah, but I was thinking this time to shave half my head, which might be a little bit too alternative.
Half your head as in, like, one side or the bottom half or the top half?
The bottom half.
Well, you know, if you did the top half, you'd look a little bit like St. Francis, you know, get the Abbott hairstyle going. You know, that's pretty awesome, pretty hot.
That's the look that I was going for.
But if I was to shave my head, I think I'd do a bit of a shape, you know, a bit of graffiti, hair graffiti.
Maybe like a lightning bolt.
You know what? Let's put this out to the people. Go to lovetalksback.com, head to the forum. We're going to have questions on there. Whether you think that NA should shave her head, you can tell us on the forum. You can also tell us on Facebook or on our Twitter. It's Love Talks Back on our Twitter account. Tell us what you think.
Talking about shave, so I went and got my eyebrows waxed today because they hadn't been waxed in, let's say, 2 months.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, it wasn't eyebrows, it was eyebrow.
You're a unibrow.
My monobrow was horrible. Anyway, I went and got my eyebrows waxed. The woman took off half an eyebrow, like, no joke. I have 1.5 now. Who wants 1.5 of eyebrows?
Well, did she actually wax them, or did she do the tweezers?
My eyebrow.
Oh, so that's the danger in waxing. That's why I do. I use the string, and I do that with my eyebrows. I can't remember what it's called.
Whatever that is.
Yeah.
Threading.
Threading. That's the word. Threading. Yes.
But yeah. And the best part is because I'm traveling, I just have like eyeliner pencil. Something's scarring in like half
an hour
now.
Oh no. How are you gonna, you know, come back to Australia and impress everyone?
My retarded eyebrow.
Oh, well, we'll still love you. You know.
Better. Oh, yeah. You have to.
Well,
Jesus said so. Tomorrow I'm also gonna go to Shakespeare's Globe, you know, the Globe Theatre, and pick up my ticket.
Oh,
I've got tickets waiting for me. I'm going to go see Much Ado About Nothing on the 14th of September. I'm so very excited.
Oh, goodness.
I'm so excited.
Is it the Elizabethan versions or modern?
No, the proper version.
Okay.
Is done in Shakespeare's theatre, like in the theatre, the reconstruction of Shakespearean theatre.
That is impressive.
I've got poor people's tickets.
You know what?
£5. So cheap. Stan. The whole time.
Wow.
But it would be like how back in the day, the poor people, so that they could come to the theatre.
Yep.
They had the crappy ticket, like the not crappy, actually the best seat. You actually have the best view.
Yep.
It's just that you're standing.
It's like when you go to a mosh, you know. But this is a very laid back mosh.
Oh yeah. I'll be mosh.
Well, take some photos for us. We'll chuck them on the website, and people can have a look. And if you want to know more about what she's doing, you can get real live updates on lovetalksback.com. And you can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook and get all the updates about why NA is where she is. Where in the world is Natalie Ambrose? Guys, you're listening to Love Talks Back. Now, tonight we are
welcome
talking
to the show.
Yeah, NA is back with us.
I am back.
Thank you for taking your time to wake up, or stay awake at least.
I just stayed awake.
Well, tonight on the show, we are talking about making the first move. And tonight we have a very special guest. He hails all the way from Texas, and he's speaking directly to us from his hometown. And you might know him from the Catholic Pickup Line song or from his album Awakening. He's both the king and the ghost. He is David Casper. Welcome to the show.
Uh-huh, that's quite welcome, an intro, David. Thanks.
You're welcome. Okay, now, you, like I said, you are known for the Catholic Pickup Line song. Tell us, what was some people's reactions to that song? Because it's not the normal Catholic song that you'd put out.
Oh, well, no, I don't know if there is such a thing as a normal Catholic song, but the reactions to it, they vary. It depends on who you're playing it for, mostly, because the first group of people I ever played it for was actually a group of nuns.
Oh,
That's different.
Irony. Yeah. They loved it.
Oh, that's great.
They were all picking which pickup line would have kept them out of the convent.
So have you actually ever heard anyone use any of your pickup lines? Like genuinely heard a story that someone's used one of these pickup lines before?
Well, you know, some of the lines in the song, I have to say, are not mine. There's this Patrick Madrid, he's a very funny Catholic apologist, American Catholic apologist, and he made a list of, you know, the top 10 Catholic pickup lines. And I don't know if he made them up or where he got them from, but so some of the pickup lines in my song are from that list, but some of them I made up myself. I've heard that some of the ones that Patrick actually had on his list, I've heard that a couple of them have been used. I don't know if they worked.
Yeah, because that's the thing, like whether, you know, pickup lines in general, whether they work as a way of making the first move. It'd be interesting to hear about whether Catholic pickup lines do.
Well, you know, I actually have... I've kind of a policy regarding pickup lines.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and that would be that if you have to use a pickup line to get someone interested in you, you're not ready to begin dating.
Ooh, that's good. Very good tip out there.
That's very good. Good tip. Yeah.
The whole reasoning behind that is that, like, the purpose of a pickup line is to, you know, put words in your mouth when you don't know what to say. Maybe you're too afraid to talk, or you just can't think of something, or you want to come off, with a better impression than you could actually make of your own accord. If you're trying to do any of those things, if you're trying to be anything other than yourself. Then you're not ready to even ask anyone out. You shouldn't be dating right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. That's something that we touched on in the first show, is getting to know yourself is an important thing.
Definitely. Yeah, getting to know yourself is like the key thing to dating, because people are going to be attracted to you, not who you pretend to be.
Mm. Oh, yeah, exactly. We were talking about in our first show about people, a lot of people have a tendency of wearing masks or playing up certain elements of themselves, but making that the majority of themselves. So it's a very good point, and it's something that that we've talked about before, so that's great.
Yeah, well, here's some proof that it's actually real, and that's actually how it is, and it's not just the two of you making it up. Some other guy, unrehearsed, just said it on air.
And all the way from America.
Yeah, it's true worldwide, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, speaking of other worldwide phenomena that's happened, so your song actually got picked up by a girl in the States. Her name is Sarah Ryan, and she did a song called My Catholic Boy. What did you think of the response?
Oh, Sarah Ryan. I've met Sarah Ryan, after that song.
Yeah.
And she's a really funny girl, but... actually, she had written that song about the same time that I wrote the pickup line song. Her song wasn't written in response.
Oh, right.
However, when
it just worked in response.
It sort of, like, she saw the YouTube video of mine, and she hadn't put up a YouTube video of hers yet, but she altered some of her lyrics to better match and be a response to mine, and then record it, put it up. So a lot of my friends, because I lived in a town called College Station at the time, and she lived, 2 hours away, something like that. And a lot of my friends were like, you should go down there and meet her. She might be your soulmate.
Oh, well.
I was like, no thanks. distance relationships work, but not if you start them at a distance.
Yeah, you've got to meet them, in the same place, yeah.
Yeah. You gotta like, build some kind of foundation, and then, maybe the two of you move off. One of you goes somewhere else to study or go be in the army or something. Then, you can work it out, and they come back, and your relationship kind of picks back up where it had to leave off. But, yeah, you can't start something from far away to begin with.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're speaking from experience, whether or not you are. Is that true?
Yeah, I am speaking from experience. Unfortunately, I've had some... Well, I guess it's fortunately I've had bad luck with dating. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing whenever you have bad luck with dating, because it teaches you more for the next time around. Mm.
Exactly. And it teaches, that's great.
And it's more that you can teach someone else, If someone's listening to this and they're considering starting a relationship between, someone in Australia and someone in America, don't do it. Hey, bad idea.
Learn from my experience. Don't go there.
It's stupid. God put you on different continents for a reason. Anyway.
Very true. Now, you also probably have a lot of experience because, I read on your Reverb Nation blog, you did a degree in music composition, but you also did another study or another course earlier this year. Tell us about that.
Yes, I went to the Theology of the Body Institute in Corytown, Pennsylvania. Anyone who's listening to the show who might not know, the Theology of the Body Institute is an institute that teaches theology of the body. That's all they do. They have a few courses per year. Each course is a week long, but it has 30 hours of lecture.
Wow.
So you get 10 sessions of 3 hours each over the course of the week. And it's pretty brutal to go through that much lecture.
Tense.
Especially on the topic as well.
Yeah, but at the same time, it opens your eyes to things you never knew before. Mm-hmm. The particular course that I took was actually Catholic Sexual Ethics, mm-hmm. taught by a guy named Dr. John Haas. He's actually the head of the National Catholic Bioethics Center in Washington, D.C. So he's actually one of the most prominent moral philosophers, theologians, and biologists in the world. He's just absolutely one of the top minds you could ever hope to meet. When the bishops were writing, I think it was Humanae Vitae, they actually called him up.
Wow.
And used him as a reference. He'd tell us stories to get points across or to bring up things that happened in history. And he'd mention, I was on a plane with Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger.
Wow.
Is that how you start all your stories?
Just drop some names here and there.
Yeah, just name drop, the Pope. That particular course was really amazing. It was a very intellectual course, a very scholarly course. We learned about the ethics and morality and theology of sex and contemporary sex-related issues. So, contraception, abortion, in vitro fertilization, surrogate motherhood, all that sort of thing, like homosexuality. We learned about the biological processes of all the sex. Like, the first handout that they gave us were these blown up pictures of a cross section of a penis and a vagina.
Well, that is intense.
Yeah, this is an awkward way to start a class, but at the same time, everyone at that institute, we're all, you know, they're all past the awkward stage.
Yep.
We're at the point where, okay, like we're not just gonna giggle every time someone says the word penis anymore. We recognize that it's a part of the human body. It's actually holy, just as the rest of our body is holy and a living temple to God. And we can get past that and move on to the actual the theology behind what it's used for. If any of the listeners to the show haven't heard of theology of the body, it's this incredible body of Catholic teaching on sexuality, on the nature of man and woman, masculinity and femininity, and how it's actually the image of God impressed on us. So it's beautiful, it's life-changing, it'll change the way you look at yourself and everyone around you, whether you're romantically interested in them or not, but especially if you're romantically interested in them. it's
wow.
Everything in the world to a Catholic who learns it.
That's awesome. Let's talk about your album. You worked on that last year, released it last year, April. What's happening in the music scene for you now?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I had the impression that I was just starting on a path to be a professional Catholic musician, and, Holy Spirit said, hey, move to another town and become a youth minister.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I am a youth minister right now, but my ultimate goal is still to be a Catholic musician. So.
Yep. Whereabouts do you youth minister?
I'm at St. Louis Catholic Church in Waco, Texas. I'm still in Texas.
Okay. Shout out to that youth group.
Yes, shout out to Sly, St. Louis Youth.
A Sly Catholic group, that's very cool.
All these youth groups, and at least the ones I've seen in Texas, they all just make acronyms out of the name, like St. Thomas Aquinas Youth is STAY, St. Helens Youth is SHY, so we got Sly.
That's great.
Talking about the album and stuff and the musical career, I'm still playing songs. In fact, this weekend I'm going to go play a retreat in Laredo, which is right on the border between Texas and Mexico. I'm going to go play a retreat for the Congregation of St. John there.
Beautiful.
So I'm still pursuing musicianship. I still want that to be my ultimate goal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still writing songs. I'm hopefully going to, put together a second album, put that out there. I have no idea when that'll happen.
These things take time.
It's a side project right now.
Okay. When you're writing your music, are you thinking about, just the Catholics that you're writing for? Or are you thinking about a whole range of people who might listen to your music?
It's kind of interesting. Each individual song so far, as I've been writing it, has just come out from completely different circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
The first track on the album, I Love You, it came from, actually, I wrote it as a theme song for a retreat. So it was based on, it was based actually on the scripture readings, readings that day, like the psalm was, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," Psalm 22. The whole concept of the weekend was just what I tried to condense into a song. And I didn't actually have a real personal connection to anything in that song until later, when I actually, I was in adoration. And, the first verse of the song is, you talking to God. And the second verse of the song is God talking back to you, and both saying, I love you, to each other.
Yeah.
And so I was in adoration, and I just felt moved to pray the first verse of the song. And I heard God answer back the second verse too.
Wow.
There's that happened after I'd already written the song, recorded the album and everything. So that was one circumstance. And then the pickup line song was just written as a joke. I recorded it, like the album version, just as a test of my recording equipment. It was never even meant to be on an album, and that's why it's the last track.
That's an awesome test. That is one awesome test.
Yeah. Well, you know, and when the video hit the internet, I knew, you know, I knew the guy, Seth, the more he'd taken the video and everything, but I had no idea it was going to even leave the community I was in, you know, like that it'd get more than 25 views on
YouTube.
Yeah,
yeah, it went viral.
Yeah, and now we're at like 41,000, and some of those are overseas. Like, really? That song? Yeah. But that was written as a joke. And then you know, some of the other songs, like Run On, I wrote in the space of about 15 minutes. It all just came out in a just verbal diarrhea. You know, in the moment, it was written, like, the girl who sings it, Jennifer Wallace, and I co-wrote it for a talk she was giving on a retreat. So all of these songs just came completely out of different circumstances. I wasn't thinking, like, for one song, I would be thinking about who's listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
And for another song, it was just a personal reflection from my heart and what I was trying to communicate about myself. Some of them were things that I never had a grasp of until later. Like, at the time that I wrote Lady Love, I really didn't have much of a devotion to Mary.
Yep.
It just sort of came out. And then, you know, a few months later, I started really praying the rosary in earnest, and I suddenly looked back at the song that I had written with new eyes. So it the Holy Spirit will move you however he feels like.
That's right. You can never know where you're going to go.
For any bidding artists that are out there, and there's quite a few, and for those who are listening, is there any tips that you'd give them? I mean, I know it's hard to narrow things like this down, but what would you suggest would be, you know, something to go by when writing or when trying to put together some music?
Particularly when you're trying to write songs or put together music, like you just start naming off songs on contemporary Christian radio. How great is our God?
Mm.
Awesome God. Our God is greater. You know, like, yes, God is great. Yes, it's great to say that, but can you come up with a more creative way to say it? And if you go back and look at things like the writings of the saints, you know, Matt Maher's song "Alive Again" is actually a prayer from the Confessions of Saint Augustine.
Mm. Yeah,
they weren't Maher's own lyrics, and you know that it was an amazing song, and it stands out as unique in all the field of Christian music because he's Catholic.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's there's so much doctrine and so much documents, you know, from the church that we don't really have to try and think of our own lyrics.
Yeah, we don't have to reinvent the wheel, and even the songs that exist already, you know.
Mm.
Thomas Aquinas wrote the Tantum Ergo and the Salutaris Hostiae. You have Francis of Assisi, who wrote All Creatures of Our God and King. It's my favorite hymn ever. It's just the imagery, the verbal imagery is just beautiful. You go look at St. John of the Cross, the poem, The Dark Night of the Soul. Like, there's such a rich tradition of art and history and just beautiful things in the Catholic Church. Just be in tune with your own faith, be in tune with what it means to be Catholic, and be genuine. You know, don't write a song because you want people to hear it on the radio. Write a song because you want people to hear the words that are in it.
That's great advice.
Yeah,
just love being Catholic. It's great.
Yeah, it's just exhilarating.
And it's
amazing, you know, like, I don't know if y'all are cradle Catholics, but I'm a cradle Catholic, you know, Catholic from birth.
Same.
Yep, same.
Yeah, and you know, typically cradle Catholics are associated with lukewarm Catholicism. You know, the converts are the ones who are all on fire because they just converted.
Yeah.
Cradle Catholics are like bored.
They've realized, yeah.
But, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. It's a stereotype, but it's a painful and false one. If you're just genuine and you learn about your faith and you contain your faith in your lyrics, then you will just automatically, you know, by virtue of what you're doing, be writing excellent songs that people want to hear.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. What we were talking about before the show was whether we could get you to play one of your songs for us on tonight's show.
Yeah, sure could.
So we're not sure, guys, if this is going to work. We haven't tested this out. Haven't tested an international live performance yet.
Never done this before. This is grand.
Well, hey, I've never played right on here. Two continents at the same time either. Actually, three.
Yeah, three continents. That's three, right.
Yes.
That's got to be some kind of record.
I think so.
Probably only U2's ever done that before.
Well, this is another version of a test, you know, another way that you can test one of your songs out.
Okay, yeah. Exactly. I think I have a good song to do it. The song I actually wrote long before I ever recorded the Awakening album, but it just didn't make it onto the album.
Okay.
It's definitely going to be on the second one, though.
Great.
It's called Sweet Serenade. And it's basically, it's kind of an introspective look at, you know, why there would be an atheist, you know, why there would be such thing as an atheist when it's very clear that there is a God. But ultimately the Sweet Serenade is, you know, the song of creation that, you know, all the hills are resounding with the song of the Lord. It's probably one of my more, I guess, introspective songs, but I think it might fit pretty well.
Excellent. All right. Well, awesome. You heard it first. Love Talks Back. This is an exclusive song with David Casper.
Can you hear the guitar there?
Yes. It's awesome.
All right. Let's see how this goes.
Okay.
Serenade runs through my veins, and it's all I can do to hold, contain this love that you've shown, this grace that I've known. So let my throat ring true to the vibrant refrain, cause we're maintained, but we can't be explained. And in trying to explain, we erase things that should remain. Everything we have is nothing to be proud of. Everything we give is only what was allowed us. And all the king's horses and all the king's men are waiting for the king to come back again. You know they gotta stay strong, know they gotta leave their lights on, know they gotta keep singing their song. And it's a sweet serenade, a sweet serenade. This rock, just how he was made to roll. Keep me loving you, keep me strong, and don't leave if you ain't planned on bringing me along. Cause I'm helpless, and maybe I'm a little jealous, and I'm sure enough not as tough as I used to think I was. And you're more than a dream, more than I've seen, more than I can frame in this stop motion poetry. So sit right back and you'll hear a tale, a tale of a man stuck inside a whale. And he prayed for days and days to finally bust it out, singing that sweet serenade. The sweet serenade. No truth, no higher meaning to be. But ask them again when they've been cheated of bleeding. They tell you it's not fair that a man that you care. The question's always for whom, but they never ask from where did this morality spring. This reality fling itself over our heads and into our hearts. And when the love's gone,
And all is wrong, how will we know if the scars really are just a playing cards? Really are just playing cards. It's a sweet serenade.
Thank you so much for that. Why did that not make the first album?
Because I like all the first album. I don't know if you found this anywhere on the internet or anything, but all the instruments and all that sort of thing, that's all me. All the drums and guitars and pianos and stuff. And I'm simply not good enough of a bassist or a drummer to make that song what I wanted it to be.
I see.
I could do the guitar and the vocals and maybe a little keys in the background or something, but especially a drummer, like I need a good, what's called a pocket drummer to,
yeah.
to really yeah. make that song work. So I just decided to forego it until I could find someone better than me to.
Oh, that's great. So you're like a one-man band. How funky.
Yeah, I was, like you said, I was a music major, and in the course of being a music major, I learned to play something, I don't know, like 11 instruments.
Wow.
So I mean, I can't play all of them equally well or anything. I definitely have better and worse instruments, but that was definitely a blessing to have that ability making the album, because I could make things sound, you know, just the way I wanted them to, providing that I was... Yeah. capable of playing it as well as I wanted it to sound.
Mm. It's fantastic.
That was an incredible song. I cannot wait for the album when it comes out. However, take your time, however long, and guaranteed purchase right here.
Well, great. I've got two international sales down already.
Already.
That's right.
Alrighty.
Put my name down on a list, Dave.
You know what, David, thank you so much for joining us on the show. It's been fantastic.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much.
It has
been incredible. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure. This is a fun opportunity for me too. So.
Awesome.
To talk to two different people in two different places.
Yeah,
the world right
two
now.
Two different, like this is three different corners of the world talking to each other. Magic of the
time
internet.
Zone, three different.
Oh, that's the beauty of technology.
Yeah, LOL internet.
It was really awesome. Great opportunity. Thank you so much for being in contact and the interview.
Yeah, thank you
thank
for
you so
inviting
much,
me.
Dave.
Anytime you want me back, let me know.
You could be a regular.
We will take you up on that offer, and you're going to wish you never made that.
I already am.
Oh, excellent. Okay, well, you have a really, really great evening.
Thanks,
and,
you too.
Yeah,
so you have a good
you.
Morning.
Thank
good morning.
Yeah.
And happy Nativity of Mary.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. Yes, happy birthday to Our Lady.
Lady. Ave Maria. Thank you so much,
right,
Dave.
God bless you.
God bless.
God bless. Take care.
All right, guys. That was an amazing interview, I would have to say. You know, it's a bit
Ladies
biased.
And gentlemen, that was Dave Casper. I want you to be sitting on your couch applauding right now. Applause. Ready? Applause.
Applause.
One, two, three.
Ladies, if you're not swooning or, you know, I mean, he sang a serenading song.
Serenaded all of you tonight. I mean, if you're not booking your flights to America right now, because, I mean, you heard him, he doesn't do long-distance relations.
Very fantastic. This is Love Talks Back. You're listening with MC and NA. right here on Cradio, and we're talking about making the first move. And we had a little chat with a young man by the name of Nick Richards, very experienced in this area of making the first move. And he made the first move, and now he's engaged. And this is what happened when we talked with Nick Richards.
What I guess we could start off with is, can you tell us kind of like a shortened version of your story with Janelle?
Yeah, I guess so. I met Janelle on the Eyewitness Conference, actually, in 2008.
Are you kidding me? This is amazing.
No.
Yes, yeah, go no. Eyewitness. I love this. Please. Okay, wait. I need to, like, this is so cool. This is our, like, first eyewitness wedding ever. This is so exciting.
Okay. Yeah, no, well, we'd met before, but it was in brief, and I recognised Janelle, and I didn't know how. And I just saw this girl sitting on a hill over at Collaroy, and I'd been playing the fool with Nathan Tran, and decided afterwards to walk up and talk. There was a bunch of girls sitting there, and I saw Janelle. And she was actually really friendly about it. I just asked her where I knew her from, and started spouting off random places and groups. And it turned out we were both in a youth group, Antioch, not in the same area, but we were both Antiochers, and I thought, oh, maybe that's who I know you. Anyway, long story short, just sort of talked a little bit on the 2008 conference, and I added her on Facebook, as you do, and we ended up chatting over Facebook, and I asked her out for a catch-up for coffee. And she always made excuses. There was always some sort of an excuse.
Did she always think that catching up for coffee, like, sort of meant something else, or did you have something else in mind?
I think she did. I kind of just was at a point where I was just going out and meeting girls, like, just be quite a big boy, and I did a lot of training and lost a lot of weight, and so I was out and I was dating, and not so much dating, but just going out and socialising. And I was asking Janelle out for coffee, and she kept saying no. And there was always some sort of an excuse, and she finally said yes to catching up for coffee about 4 months later.
Mm-hmm.
And we went out for what was meant to be coffee, and it ended up being dinner for about 5 hours.
Oh, wow.
It was really, like, it was awesome. And I really liked her, and I remembered a talk from Peter Holmes at one of the Theology on Taps, and I went in, and I remember he said, if you like her, just ask her for a follow-up sort of thing. So I said, I really enjoyed this, and I'd love to do it again sometime. She said she enjoyed it too, and would like to do it again. And I asked her about 2 weeks later, hey, do you want to go out again? And I got this no, and it kept coming back to this, as no, and I'm like, oh, good Lord, what's going on here? This girl's not giving me the time of day. And I was asking people, look, should I just get up on it and so forth? It was really good. And everyone's like, yeah, she doesn't want anything to do with you. And I'm like, oh
man.
And caught up again at, she actually was in a car accident. She was okay. But I took her to Counterculture because she had no car. And yeah, we hit it off there, and so I'm like, okay, we get on well, what's the go? And she kept saying no. So eventually, it was the 2009 Eyewitness, that November, when apparently she finally realised that, hey, this guy is a good sort, and acknowledged the fact that she liked me, because apparently I dropped some rosary beads into her hand. Because I was handing out the rosary beads, and I just walked over to her, and she was sitting there, and I dropped rosary beads into her hand, and apparently that was what won her over in that November. But of course, she didn't let me know that until February, when after much chasing and calling and catching up and hanging out and spending time with each other, I said, yeah, look, I kind of like you as more than a friend, and I'd like to go out with you. And she finally said yes. So it was a very long courting process. It was basically a year of chasing this girl before she finally said yes. So yeah, I guess that was, sorry if that went a bit too long.
No, that's perfect. So how did it feel when she kind of said no to you, like time and time again?
Oh, geez, if a girl, I'm pretty, she didn't actually say no. She always made excuses. She was never absolutely clear no.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of, I don't read between the lines. I don't think many guys do. the girl's not interested, then she has to clearly say, flat out, no, I'm not interested and do not want to date you.
Yeah.
Whereas just an excuse is, for me, I'm very naive and trusting in that regard, and always
take people on
face value.
Yeah.
And just assumed that she was busy, not realising she was trying to get rid of me. I guess I'm not quite that cluey, but that's I guess one of the things is I've always been, if you want me to do something, give me a specific answer.
Did you always, when she was saying no, did you have sort of thoughts to yourself, like, oh, maybe it's the wrong girl, maybe it's the wrong vocation, maybe I should be going on a different direction, or did you feel really quite, like, adamant about chasing Janelle?
Oh, look, I guess for me, I was still in the knowing about the priesthood. I was like, oh, maybe I'm being called to that. And I wasn't ever really sure. I never had a massive a burning desire. I could see the appeal in both lives and so forth. But there was something about Janelle where I was just, every time I was about to give up and go, okay, there's no point in chasing this girl anymore. She doesn't want anything to do with it. There'd be something, like she'd message me on Facebook or I'd get a text message from her or something like that.
Yeah.
It was just enough to draw me back in. And think, right, she does want me, and going back in there, go back in headstrong and repeat the process. So it was it was just always, there was some sort of little thing that sort of let me know, maybe it's worth going, but I guess I'm a sucker for clinging on to hopeless courses. It just seems to work out for me.
Obviously wasn't a hopeless course.
Yeah, no, it hasn't turned out that way. So,
it is wonderful. You mentioned Eyewitness, the Urgent App, Counterculture. Man, Catholic events in Sydney. People, you want to meet someone.
Definitely.
Come to Catholic events.
I seriously do. I say that to people. It's a great way to meet, not just if you're after a relationship, but just forging good friendships based on common values and so forth. I mean, there's distinct approaches in everything within all the circles. Like whether you're liberal or orthodox, you can find people that have similar values. And if you don't find people with similar values, well, it just fosters good debate, I guess, and good discussions. So you can make good friends and make good friends, or you can find someone that you're meant to be with, sort of thing.
That's wonderful. Anyway, thank you so much for that, Nick.
Yay, no worries.
Awesome. Enjoy the rest of your break.
You too, guys.
All right.
See you later.
You. Bye.
See ya.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the night. Well, it's been a fantastic night. A lot of information there. I hope that you've all gotten your dose of what it means to make the first move. Just remember, don't use any corny pickup lines. Maybe even stay away from all pickup lines. Don't forget, no doesn't always mean no. And, remember all the tips that we've had right here on the show.
Hey, so also, MC, is there any way that we can set up like a questions and answers for Dave Casper?
Oh.
Is that a possibility?
Well,
we should have probably asked that.
We probably should have. You know what? If you've got a question for David Casper, as we just talked to him, if you've got a question, send that to us and we'll forward that to David. Just send an email to askus@lovetalksback.com.
I like it. Yep. I like it a lot.
He's also got, you know, if you want to find out more about David Casper, of course you can visit his website, davidcaspermusic.com, or you can go to reverbnation.com/David Casper, or just look him up on YouTube. Look up the Catholic Pickup Line song. We'll have a link. We've got a link on our website to it. We'll also put it on our Facebook and our Twitter.
Also, check out some of the like, I'll be sending in some photos soon.
Oh, beautiful. So
if you want to see some of the places that I've been going to, check them out. They'll be up on the website, I hope so.
Yeah.
As well as potentially a mini blog if I can be bothered.
Look at you. Well, yep.
I know, step it right.
At 1 a.m. in the morning, you're feeling very productive.
It's because, you know, when you stay awake and you just need to break through that tired barrier and once you breathe through it.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not gonna sleep tonight.
Oh, it's you'll have, you know, sweet serenades on your mind.
That it was the song. I was like totally into this now. Oh my goodness.
If you do end up sleeping, we hope you sweet dreams and a happy nativity of Our Lady for tomorrow in London.
It's happy nativity for me now as well, but technically I should be sleeping. So when I wake up, it'll be happy.
Yeah, it'll be really happy nativity. You'll be happy and happy.
I will be.
All right, so while NA falls asleep, let's get out of here. Thanks for joining us. We're going to leave you with that last segment, which is the bottom five. And at number five, we've got addicts. Is our society so bored that we get addicted to anything and everything that feels in the void, which we call time? I gotta admit, guys, I'm addicted to Facebook. It is such an addiction. Someone help me, please. And number four, Donald Trump's presidential bid. Now, I read in an article that Donald Trump is going to start campaigning to become president. One bonus is that he doesn't need any sponsors. I mean, he can fuel his own campaign with all that moolah that he's got in his pocket. Number three, the music industry. It's so addictive and so destructive. I was singing along to a catchy song the other day, and then I realized what I was saying.
And so did the other guy next to you.
Awkward.
Okay, number two, winter. Go away. Go back to the north. Australians seriously don't like you. And at number one, the cost of living in Sydney. You know what? It's so expensive. That's it. I'm moving. See you later, guys. Going.
Hey, who's going to do the show? I guess I'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Attention.
Gossip Girl here, your one and only source into the sacred lives of Sydney's elite. Word on the street is that one of Cradio's love talk back sweethearts is moving to the Big Apple. Wonder who's moving? Who am I? Now that's a secret I'll never tell. You know you love me. Gossip Girl. XOXO.
I'm MC.
I'm NA, and that's about it.